Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21 and verses 40 to 43. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire with vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who sent to us the Spirit as our comforter, dear fellow redeemed, and especially you this morning, Caitlin and Joshua, our young confirmands. What an amazing lesson we just read. The Holy Spirit filled the hearts and the souls of the apostles so they were able to speak in different languages so the people that were there could hear the good news about Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection in their own language. And not only did the Holy Spirit give to these disciples confidence and boldness and wisdom and power, but through the message preached, the law and the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicted and converted some 3,000 people to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Don't these words astound us? Does it make us stand in awe and amazement? Aren't these the same disciples who just a little over a week earlier still thought that Jesus was going to come and bring a worldly peace and an earthly kingdom? Are these the same disciples who never really could comprehend when Jesus prophesied about his suffering, death, and resurrection? These can't be the same disciples who on Good Friday, when Jesus was arrested, ran in fear for their lives. Are these the same disciples and followers of Jesus who on Easter Sunday morning thought the women were telling idle tales, making up stories about the empty tomb, and that they saw Jesus alive? Are these the same disciples that Easter Sunday evening were so scared they were behind closed and locked doors and didn't believe the message of Jesus' resurrection till they saw him face to face? And can this be the same Peter who 53 days earlier had denied even knowing Jesus? Yes, it is. Yes, they are. The same disciples. The same Peter. Well, that leads to the next question. How can these things be? What happened? How could these disciples, who were so insecure in their faith, so fearful, and so lacking in knowledge about Jesus, now so boldly and confidently and full of understanding proclaim Christ crucified and risen again? And that's our theme question for this morning's worship service. How can these men do such great things? These disciples were former fishermen, tax collector. They were not rich businessmen. They were not profitable traders. They were not educated scribes or priests or elders of the temple. They were ordinary, common, everyday people, untrained citizens, and now we see them and hear them boldly and confidently teaching the people. Earlier they were full of questions for their Savior, now they're full of answers. Earlier they lacked wisdom and knowledge, now they're full of understanding. Earlier they were filled with fear and doubt, now they're filled with courage and faith. And that leads us then to the answer to this morning's question. How can these men do such great things? It's so very simple. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, they would have no understanding. They would have no spiritual wisdom. They would have no courage. They would have no confident faith. But on this Pentecost Sunday, almost some 2,000 years ago, Jesus fulfilled his promise to send upon his followers the gift of the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. They now could see what before had been hidden from their eyes. They now understood what before was confusing to them. They now firmly believed what before they had doubted. And they now had the confidence and courage to preach and teach all people when before they were hiding for fear of their own lives. They were the same disciples physically, but not spiritually. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it showed. So, what about you? What about you, Caitlin? What about you, Joshua? Are you any different from before your conversion? Are you any different than just 3 years ago, before you began your catechism instruction? How about, are you different than 9 years ago when you began your Sunday school training? Well, since you've been immersed in the Word of God most all of your life, you certainly are. Before your conversion, you were dead in your sins. You were unable to please God with anything you said or thought, or did. You lived for yourselves and for this life. You were living a life without God, without hope, headed for a life that was doomed and was damnation. Then the Holy Spirit came into your heart through the means of grace. For both of you, it was in your infant baptism. And the Holy Spirit created faith in your hearts, called you as a child of God, washed you of all your sins, and continually throughout your years, the Holy Spirit has brought the Word of God to you, the law to convict you, and the gospel to strengthen you in your faith to live in and to live for your Savior. That was and is truly amazing. You've been regenerated. The Holy Spirit took you from death to life, from belief to faith, from Satan's kingdom of gloom and doom to God's kingdom of glory and majesty, from being a child of the death and the devil to being a child of life and the living Savior. But the Holy Spirit's done even more than that. Over the few short years that you've lived, you've drunk in that Word of God with thirsty hearts and thirsty souls. You've grown in your understanding, grown in your knowledge, grown in your faithfulness. You've gone from babes in Christ to young, mature Christians. And today you're being led to confess your faith in your triune God and all that Jesus Christ has done for you and all of mankind. You are different, and you'll never be the same again. After 3 years of intense Bible instruction in your catechism, you, Caitlin, and you, Joshua, will confirm your baptismal vows and make a lifelong commitment and promise to be faithful to Jesus and to His Word until death. You can't be the same after that. People who know you will see the difference. It'll show. Just like it did with the disciples. So, does that mean you have nothing more to learn? Hardly. 5-10 years from now, you won't be the same as you are today either. As you continue to use the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, you will grow more and more in your understanding, more and more in your knowledge, more and more in your trust in Jesus. You'll be more confident, growing in your obedience, in your faith walk. And as you grow older, you'll grow more and more amazed at God's grace to sinners like you. As you grow older, you'll realize, as you mature, how remarkable it is that God puts you in a family of Christian people, with Christian friends, and brothers and sisters in Christ that love you. And how the Lord has called you and chosen you to be His child. And that awareness, as it comes in your heart as you grow older, will lead you to appreciate your Savior more and more as you draw ever closer to the day when He'll take you to be with Him in heaven. The Spirit will move you by the Word of God to serve your Savior, all the more applying God's grace and God's Word to the individual callings of your lives. Just like the disciples who stood so boldly and confidently and proclaimed Christ crucified and risen again before the people they were scared of just a few weeks earlier, and even gave of their time, talents, treasures, and their life for Jesus. So today you stood boldly, answered many questions, and will stand confidently and boldly before your friends, family, relatives, strangers, to make your promise before your Savior and your triune God. As you've heard me say many, many times in your classes, because the Bible says it many times, you need to remain in the Word. Daily, reading, hearing, studying it. For faith never stays stagnant. It is either growing and living and producing faith, or it is shrinking and dying with the flesh. Serving self. So, someone could ask this morning, how can you do this? How can common, ordinary people like you, Caitlin and Josh, get up in front of people and make this promise that you'll be faithful to your triune God, give of your life, of your time, of your treasures, of your energies, of your heart, to the one who gave you everything He had for you. The answer is also simple. The same as the disciples. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not have been given the gift to speak in different languages that you have not studied. You haven't been given the ability to perform miracles of healing and raising the dead. Those special miracles given to those early New Testament disciples were to show to the world that what they said about Christ was true. They didn't have the New Testament to point to. We have the truth written in the New Testament scriptures. But you have been given what they were given. And that is a heart full of Jesus' love and a mouth and lips filled with the good news of a Savior who was born for us, who lived a perfect, obedient life of love for us, who died for us, who rose again, who ascended to heaven to proclaim to all the world. As you say, it was the Holy Spirit that entered into your heart when you were little babies to call you, to convert you, to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ, to lead you on your path, to lead you to this moment in your life, and to continue to lead you, as we heard last Sunday, to be co-missionaries with Jesus, to speak, be his ambassadors, his mouthpiece, his speaker. But Jesus and his word will be with you and beside you every step of the way. The Holy Spirit did the converting, as we hear, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You are an example of the continuing miracle of Pentecost. The work of the Holy Spirit upon hearts. One heart at a time. We praise and thank God for his work in both of you and upon your hearts, and pray to continue to work in and through you to serve him to the best of your abilities all the days of your life. And how can you do such great things? You have been filled to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.